and then we're going to do all the stuff that we do. We're going to get after the quarterback, and we're going to use assets to do that because we trust you on the island. I think that he has gotten progressively better. Like, you know how you say it's not supposed to be linear? It feels a little linear with him, that each game, like each opportunity, and you saw like in the first half of the game, that the first game where it's like, okay, let me get my bearings. This is a bizarre thing that we're going through. And even in the second half of the first game against Detroit, you saw him get better. And each week, there's a little bit more. And I thought that this was an important game for him because they did pick on him. And I actually did think it was pass interference. And it's funny because you could see the coach on the sideline saying, yes, you armbarred him. You have to be more discreet in showing when you're armbarring a wide receiver because officials will call it. But Kyle Fuller, man, like that dude, he is a throwback dude. He's a dude that everyone thinks they love. You know, like it's old school. It's where whatever era of Bear you're talking about, this guy fits the mold as far as tough defenders that want to lay you out.
It's what it's supposed to be. It's why we watch. It's what everybody is taught. I mean, you could put together the coaching and officiating film based on a lot of the stuff that he does. And I think that on that pick six, I do think that Bilal Nichols tipped that pass and that pick six should have stood.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so this is another thing I'm going to spend some time talking about on the show today. I thought that Fox's broadcast yesterday was poor.
It was rough.
And I don't mean the two guys. Like, I actually thought that they did a decent job. And each week, I feel like Vilma's getting a little bit better, too. I thought that the thing that they didn't give us yesterday were all the things that we got the opportunity to see when we were covering teams. The when we're seeing the stuff that's happening behind the ball. Since football, where it's broadcast, is all about taking you to where the ball is, it's incumbent upon the broadcast to then either alert the broadcasters or the broadcasters themselves have to be like, hey, there's something here. And I thought that Fox was just off yesterday. I didn't think they did a good job with replays. I didn't think that they set the two guys up in the booth to do a good job of explaining why things were called and whether or not they agreed with the call.
That's an interesting observation on your part, because I've always said, you know, learning to watch a game, start from the line out. If you want to learn why things happen, you place your eyes at the line, let the camera take you to the ball. If you stay too focused on the ball from the snap, you're going to miss out on why things happen, of who's missing a block, of why a side of the field is being taken away, or why a quarterback is dissuaded, forced off of a read, because so much of that is on the interior. And that's how I try to watch the game that way. You know, I slip sometimes and I get lazy because I'm looking down at my notes and I've got a screen up and my phone is buzzing because people are bitching about everything. And of course, they come to me for answers. They have to stop looking to me for answers. Think for themselves for a change. But really, you're right that after the fact, even when you have that moment, then you get in the ear. It's the director's job or a producer's job to be in the ear of the analyst and say, by the way, this guy fell down behind the play and that's why, or this should have been a penalty that was uncalled. And that's all the truck communication that we never hear.
And it's one of those things where I didn't realize it until I was in it. Well, when I first started reporting, you're thinking, oh, well, I'm watching the game as closely as anyone could watch the game. And I think that is accurate as far as people watching on their TV screens, but being able to understand, oh, that side of the field became open because that safety vacated pre-snap, or, oh, that guy was yelling at another guy, but on television, you can't see it because they're following the ball, which is what they're supposed to do. It's those little tweaks that make a broadcast or can make a broadcast really a lot of fun. And watching a game, like, I've been trying to decide if there's value in me going to Soldier Field for games, on whether I should go because I'm not getting the things. And now I actually have, like, my Sundays are free. Like, I actually have an opportunity to go back to games. And those things that you miss, like, in the margins of watching a game from even the Bears press box, which has lousy location, can tell a more clear story about what's happening from play to play.
I learned it sitting next to James Big Cat Williams doing AFL games. And while as a play-by-play man, I had to be aware of where the ball was and really staying with the ball, his ability in real time to look at the angles of blocks and know exactly what happened was remarkable. And he was doing it all on his own. And that's just a skill that some football analysts have, that ability to see certain things. But after I would get done describing what happened, he would come right in and say, well, the reason why was this, there was a double team on this side that allowed this and this and this to happen.
Right. And that was the great education that I had gotten over the last 3 years of working over at NBC Sports Chicago,
sure,
where it's like going to grad school and you're sitting there and the other students are way smarter than you. When you sit in a room and you're watching a game with Olin Krutz, Alex Brown, Matt Forte, and Lance Briggs, you watch those guys and the amount of information that they can figure out and the amount of time that's given is pretty crazy. Like, you and I are people that have bona fides as Bears reporters. We probably see a lot of things that maybe your average fan doesn't see. Those guys, what they see, it's happening in real time. And that was the thing that I found so amazing about that experience, was if you give me a replay, for the most part, I can tell you what happened on the play. Olin's doing it while the play's going on.
Yep.
Like, he's telling you what technique a guy was using and why he was wrong to use it and how he got beat. Alex is telling you why a guy on the defensive line had the wrong setup and had the wrong rush lane. Like, it's amazing to watch those guys. And I think that Vilma is actually getting there now. Like, he's called enough Bears games where you're starting to hear him do some of that stuff. Like, he's not hesitating. And I'm not going to hold against him what happened week 1, because he wasn't expecting to work with Dick Stockton. No one's expecting to work with Dick Stockton.
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition, right?
But I think as the weeks have gone on, he continues to call Bears games. One, the familiarity with the Bears themselves has made him a better broadcaster. And I think that he's just now starting to get comfortable and he can tell some of that stuff. And I think the best analysts are the ones that give the thing that the viewer doesn't know. And I'll tell you, I wrote it down. It's another thing I want to do today. I don't think John Smoltz is at Steve Stone level.
No, he's really good, though.
He's getting close.
Yeah,
and last night, watching him break down what was happening in the game and really explaining pitching, I thought it was a really tremendous broadcast that they did last night.
Yeah, and Joe Davis, who I had mentioned, I got a taste of him. I could find the tweet. It was like 8 years ago. I said, this guy sounds like a national-level broadcaster, and he really does. He's got that sound. He has that presence, and even from a very young age, I think he's going to be on our TV screens doing a lot of sports for a lot of years.
Well, I keep wondering, if you're Joe Buck, like, can you keep this pace up that he's calling a game a day and he's flying all around the country to call these games? Like,
that's what they do.
I don't know if you can do. I know.
Ask Benetti. He does the same thing. He's never not calling a game.
But Benetti at least will get a day, or he's doing it remotely. Like, this is crazy what they have asked Joe Buck to do over at Fox. And it'll be crazy again when the World Series starts. I marvel at it, because you know how it is. The amount of information that one needs to call one game versus being ready. And then you're in your mode. Like, okay, I'm calling baseball. I'm in my baseball mode. Let me get into my football mode to learn two new rosters and get ready to call a game. It's really remarkable what those guys are doing.
It's a lot of work, and I know it's a Bears Monday, but also we got the news just this morning that Doc Emrick is retiring from calling games at age 74, and that's an all-timer. That is one of the best sports broadcasters, and if you want to say hockey broadcast, obviously the dean of hockey broadcasters, but he's one of the great sports broadcasters in my lifetime.
Yeah, I'm not going to limit Doc to I'm not going to put him in the box of that he's just a hockey guy. His brilliance as someone to describe what you are seeing, it doesn't matter what the game is. You listen to that guy and the amount of words that he uses.
The verbs.
The
verbs.
Yes. And,
that's the secret.
It's so, like, what he's doing, I wonder what he reads. Like, I'm curious on what it is that he likes to read. Because it's clear that he has got a baseline knowledge of just a lot of interesting things. And hockey and broadcasting overall will be lesser because he's not calling games. And I'm not. Does Kenny Albert move into that role? Because he was kind of the number two guy when it came to hockey. But Doc is an all-timer, man. That guy is the absolute goods.
And a prince of a human being, too. Just a wonderful one, just a dear soul. And I'll miss him on the broadcast. So enjoy your Bears Monday. I will leave you with three words. Free Kyle Fuller.
Agreed. Thanks for holding down the show last week, Dan. I appreciate it. And
of course, that
is Dan Bernstein. He will be here 9 until noon every day. I'm Lawrence Holmes. I'm back. This hour is being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the number for kids. Herbie, it's Bears Monday. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Jason Leisure of the Sun-Times is joining me here on The Score as we talk about the Bears. I'm someone who believes that winning buys you time. I'm uncomfortable saying how good the Bears are because I just don't know. When I look at them, I see some flaws, and they've been able to rise above those flaws to win games. Which is the most important thing. Like, it's the most important thing in the NFL is getting those wins. But I'm still kind of stuck going, is this team good enough that people are going to feel confident about them in any sort of playoff scenario?
Well, the most important thing is how many wins you have at the end. It's how many wins you have out of 16. So I don't really buy, like, the old Bill Parcells line of you are what your record is. You are what your record is at the end of the season. You may not be what your record is at 3-0, for example, each of the last two seasons with the Bears. They were 3-0 last year and ended up being 8-8. But what I totally agree with you, though, about them having bought themselves time and a lot of margin. I mean, when you're 4-1 and you're going to Carolina next and seven teams from the NFC get in the playoffs, you have bought yourself a lot of room for error. I mean, you pretty much can just beat the beatable teams from here out, and you're almost certainly going to get in the playoffs.
Make me a bicycle clown!
That was the last time that I was on the air. I was talking with my buddy Jason Leisure about the Bears, and here we are with the Bears being in first place. That's right. Don't stop believing. The Bears are in first place in the NFC North after that mollywhopping that the Packers got against the Tampa Bay Bucks yesterday. Tom Brady heard me laughing at him, heard you laughing at him, started laughing at himself, put LeBron's face on his body, talking about the fourth championship that he's won, and flipped out. Yesterday, it was more so that Tampa Bay defense, though. Tampa Bay's defense just swallowed Aaron Rodgers whole. And you saw it. When the pick six happened, the first pick six happened, you're sitting there going, oh, no, this is about to go bad. And then Ndamukong Suh went back to old Suh in terrorizing Aaron Rodgers. But we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers other than to talk about how the Bears are percentage points ahead of them in first place in the NFC North. That's what the show is going to be about today. You can call us 312-644-6767. You can also, if you want, text the show with the same number. I want to take a lot of calls today if you want to. If not, I can just sit here and talk about stuff because I have a lot of stuff that's on my list of things. If you're on the Twitch stream, I am there too. Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score.
Twitch.
That's right. If you get an itch, then you do the Twitch and Bedrock. Herb Lawrence is the executive producer of this fine show. We decided today as a show that we're going to do a new segment on Tuesdays that I'm going to need your help with. So I'll let you know about that a little bit later on. Mark Grody is going to join me at 1 o'clock. We are going to talk with him about the 5-1 Chicago Bears. It's interesting because I was watching Get Up this morning and watching Rex Ryan like talk about the Bears in a kind of derisive way as if he didn't know that they were 5-1. And I get it. I get it. But it's just fascinating to me that we are stuck with still a lot of questions about the Bears. And it's weird. They are a 5-1 team, but none of us, I shouldn't say none. I don't mean to speak for you. I'll say that I'm not sure that I would pick them if the playoffs started today. Here's the beautiful thing. The playoffs don't start for another 3 months. So there's plenty of time for us to figure out exactly what the Bears are. And they've got a Monday night game, which I think that this next stretch of, what, four games in their schedule, I think is going to be a little bit more difficult. My biggest issue with the Bears as it stands right now has to do with what you think it has to do with. It has to do with the offense. It has to do with the fact that the head coach was brought in here to do two jobs. Along with, obviously, he's supposed to win, and he's doing that. There were two objectives that Matt Nagy had. Fix the quarterback and fix the offense. He's done neither of those things so far. And watching that offense yesterday kind of limp up and down the field and them not being able to run and Nagy not really trying to run the ball yesterday, I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure he knows what to do, and that's maybe the more upsetting part. That defense is good as hell, though. They're so good. They've got guys making plays on every level. I know that we've been really, really hard on Danny Trevathan over the first month of the season. He got better last week, and he played pretty well yesterday. Roquan Smith, man, when that guy is right, he is trouble. You talk about sideline to sideline, that guy's got it. And then there's Kyle Fuller. As I was saying to Dan during transition, I like watching Kyle Fuller because I like the player that he's become. Sure, he had the season where he had 7 interceptions, and that was a big deal. I like that he plays the corner position as if he's a defensive tackle. The guy plays physical football. I think that he plays so physically that referees are not sure what to do with him. And I don't want Kyle to change. And I would imagine Matt Nagy and Chuck Pagano probably feel similarly. Let them keep calling those. And then let's stay aggressive. You don't want to do anything over the line or dirty. And I think that Kyle Fuller is not a dirty player. I think that he's a physical player, and he's so physical, and the impact that he puts on ball carriers is so ferocious that referees don't know what to do. So they go, that has to be a penalty. Because he hit that guy so hard. He dislodged that guy from the ball. It had to be a penalty. And we're looking at it like, no, he put his shoulder into that guy's shoulder and knocked his ass out. And they're like, well, did it slide up to the helmet? And we couldn't tell yesterday because Fox wasn't very good with getting the replays to us in a timely manner. So there's a lot to digest. So why don't we do this? We're going to line up your phone calls at 312-644-6767. your text messages in the same spot. Hello to everyone who is watching on the Twitch stream. We appreciate you. We like the numbers that we've had on Twitch. More people are getting down. If you are on Twitch, The Score, you can watch and listen to the show. Twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. I got myself a new setup now. I've been toying around with getting a microphone arm, and now I got one, and it's great because I get to be kind of hands-free, and I think it actually sounds pretty good, too. We're going to take a timeout. We're going to talk Bears, and I'm going to play you something